This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't even let him give me a Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
That's how little I feel about people. I don't know.
Well, and a MAGA supporter is like...
calling you right now.
Oh, I got it.
Somebody's...
I fixed it.
Tell that MAGA man, leave you alone.
I'm not sleeping with you anymore.
Well, there's Joy Behar. Joy Behar just said, this is where The View is right now. Joy Behar says that if she were choking, she would not let a MAGA person give her the Heimlich. And all the MAGA people are like, okay.
Bet.
Happy Monday/Tuesday, folks.
I would still try. She's a human being.
I'm going to save your life. Take that.
And if she fought me, then I would give up easily, but I would still try.
Can you imagine being so deranged in your head that you're choking? You're like, who did you vote for?
Yeah.
And they're like, Trump. They're like, kick you out of the way, and then you just die.
Yeah. Does that say Trump Pence or Trump Vance? I can't. It doesn't matter. I hate both of them.
I don't know. This is not healthy. Listen, I think you and I all know there are things in our life. For some, it's politics. Yes, I understand that. There are things in our lives that irrationally agitate us, enrage us, infuriate us. Is there anything you're willing to share off the top of your head that you know I am more emotionally charged about this than a healthy person should be?
Yes.
What is it? This show?
Sometimes, more often though,
I asked.
It is... committed leftist economists.
I'm idiots. Like
you are committed to the bit. Yeah. I give you that, but nothing you're saying makes any sense.
But you're okay. So you're rationally assessing that they're very, very stubbornly wrong. But you're saying that in your gut.
Oh, I want to fight you online. I will spend quality family time fighting you online and know that I'm in the wrong.
Man, to an extent, sometimes, well, those people don't bother me. I just don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand the online warriors in general. But to the point, there are things, every human being has something that makes you irrationally emotional. And the key is knowing, being self-aware about the irrational nature of that emotion. For me, as you and pretty much everybody in my life knows, mine is loud chewing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do know that one.
And the people in my life that are good people who I care about and who at least moderately care about me, put your ice down right now. Stop it. No, no, don't do it.
I just wanted to get a drink.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I won't.
Don't.
I'm thirsty.
I have the stress in my chest.
I'm thirsty for attention.
Well, don't crunch your eyes while you do it. But no, if you are somebody who is, why are you, I say this and you guys both are picking up your beverages.
Once water gets picked up, everybody needs a drink.
But not in the
microphone.
It's
like yawning.
It is.
I don't know, maybe.
I remember where I was when I first discovered the word misophonia, which is this enraging sensation that you get when you hear people making certain kind of specific noises. Mostly it's, oh my gosh, gum chewing. And there are people, most of you normal normies out there are going, why? Like, I don't like prefer to listen to people chew loudly, but this doesn't make sense to me. And there are other people going, like, we are now soul sisters and soul brothers. Is that a thing? Are there soul brothers?
Probably. It's probably more of an African-American thing, though.
Huh?
It's probably more of a Black American thing. I don't think we call each other soul brothers.
I don't think soul sisters, I don't think they're the same.
No, I don't either.
When I say soul sisters, it's not a racial thing. When you look at Joy Behar and you see her on the set, this is the part to me that blows my mind, because I really do understand the extent that people have their hatred towards Donald Trump. I think they're completely and totally wrong about it, but a lot of these people are so committed to the bit And they've been lied to. I don't think Joy Behar has been deceived. I think Joy Behar is a deceiver of other people. And it's super gross because she makes money off of it. Joy Behar's career, as of this point in it, is predicated on making sure she perpetuates a certain kind of safe space for the people who have irrational hatred for Donald Trump, like a psychological disorder that causes them to hate Donald Trump so much that they come to The View to be fulfilled. It's the daily hit that they can get to make sure that they can come together with like-minded people who are also delusional. To actually say on the air that if I were choking, I would refuse the Heimlich from a MAGA supporter is insane. That's certifiably insane. Like, you need to tell somebody professional about that.
Shoe on the other foot. If you or I were choking and the only person in the room was a far left, like dyed hair, piercings, like clearly non-binary, whatever, like the furthest left person caricature you can come up with, are you going, eh? Are you like, somebody get this chicken bone out of my throat?
Yes. I don't care. I could not care less. And just because you saved my life doesn't mean I owe you socialist allegiance.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do anything else. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I am in gratitude to you for the rest of my life. I want to be friends with
Maybe
you.
Maybe what we're missing here, the mark, is that she knows that MAGA people would offer the Heimlich, and she's kind of a concessionist to the generosity and gratitude, kindness that the MAGA crowd has. I mean, if that's your philosophy on life, and she's in a room full of MAGA people, very politically charged people, I assume that there'd be somebody from the left who would step up to help. The weird thing is waiting for them. How much time do you have? To come out on your show and say, to that extent, that you would rather die than be physically touched by a MAGA supporter. How do these people have how is that? I get your feelings. I get you're super emotional about it. But this is a situation where, why don't you talk about the policies that you don't like about Donald Trump? You've just said that, like, basically half of the country is unclean to you.
This is a popular TV show. I mean, this is an actual show that people across the entire country watch. Let me add one more wrinkle to my shoe on the other foot.
You got a lot of shoes on that foot.
So the far left person walks up to you to save your life. They're going to give you the Heimlich.
Yeah.
But they are also just noshing on a pot roast open mouthed.
Death. I'll die.
Okay.
I'll die.
Just making sure.
No, here's what's going to happen. They save me, then I kill them.
Okay.
Trying to give me the Heimlich. I'm like, would you chew with your mouth closed?
You don't care about their politics, though.
No.
But chew it on like a bunch of potatoes and carrots, maybe some beef. That's going to get you.
I'm going to throw up. This is terrible.
Just push it a little bit just to make sure.
And that's how we both died. He was saving me. I tried to kill him. It was bad for both. See? Irrational fear, or not fear, irrational disgust is not good for your health.
Mm-hmm.
Joy. Isn't it funny that her name is Joy?
Mm-hmm.
Let's play this clip here from Speaker Johnson talking about the big, beautiful bill.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with what my dear friend Rand Paul said. I love his conviction and I share it. The national debt is the greatest threat to our national security, and deficits are a serious problem. What I think Rand is missing on this one is the fact that we are quite serious about this. This is the biggest spending cut, Shannon, in more than 30 years. We're going to cut over $1.5 trillion in spending.
Eric Burleson, representative of Missouri 7th District, Republican, of course, is going to be on the show with us at 1:25. Phone call?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, phone.
We're going to talk to him. He is a Freedom Caucus guy, and he's a pretty legit Freedom Caucus guy.
Good.
He voted for this bill, but I'm going to ask him, like, listen, the people who wanted we asked the question on this show, wasn't it 70? The number in my head is 78% of the people.
Yeah,
who responded,
right
of
there.
Over 250 people, 78% said pass Trump's bill. There is a lot of dismay, disheartenedness from Republicans that the DOGE cuts haven't been implemented in this bill. That all of this talk about cutting. Ryan, you were an advocate for that in a big, big way, to the point where you said, don't pass that bill. Don't vote in favor of it. I want more cuts. The bill passed in the House last week by one vote. It goes to the Senate, and the Senate's going to have the opportunity to make changes. The fact of the matter is that those changes that could be made in the Senate could potentially reflect some of those savings that we were hoping to get. It could also pull back on some of the things that were implemented and make the bill a little bit softer. So we don't know what the Senate is going to do. We have to sit and we have to watch and we have to wait. But there are a lot of people wrestling right now. It almost feels like a little bit of fatigue, like people have been holding their breath on this for so long since the election, this idea of coming in and ripping apart the federal government, taking everything out that is in there and only putting back the things that are necessary. People are feeling like, I thought you said we could do this. I thought we could go in there and we could rip this thing apart and really do the work that needs to be done. And they're not satisfied with the amount of cutting that has been put into place with what the House passed. I still firmly believe that what people, the size of the wrecking ball that voters, MAGA supporters, Donald Trump supporters, the size of the wrecking ball that they want to see crash through the federal government is not a realistic thing that can pass in the House. But you can, for me, while I believe that it can't realistically make it through and pass in the House and in the Senate, that also doesn't mean that you can, you're not allowed to have great disappointment, but that that's actually the situation in reality. How often do you have to come to grips with what reality is and you're just like, that this is what it is, and it's incredibly disappointing? Because you're paying attention. You want to see these cuts implemented. I think it's $3.8 trillion that is added to the deficit over the course of the next 10 years with this new budget. So the deficit is going to continue to grow in the next 10 years. How many times do we criticize Joe Biden for talking about, what would he say? Like, this is the greatest spending cut in, I don't know, millennia, something stupid.
Yeah.
But the point was, what he was saying was a political marketing phrase that meant we're still spending more than we're taking in. We're just doing it at a slower rate. So the budget, our deficit is growing, period. And then this next sentence after that is it's growing at a slower rate than it was before. But hello, you had COVID in there. The government spent more money. The influx of spending that took place in stimulus packages and all of that stuff went bonkers over COVID. So you don't even get credit for that. Rand Paul's suggestion was consistently, let's just go to 2019 spending levels. Let's just go pre-COVID and we'll do that. Can we do that? And it seems as though that isn't 100% what the case is. So when you look at what the House Republicans have done, and we're going to have one of them on the show, one of your Missouri representatives, Eric Burleson, at 125 today. We're going to be talking to one of them that is probably, I'd be curious, and I will ask him, what grade does he give House Republicans? He is one of them. But I don't think that if we're talking about understanding and accepting reality, but still being pretty disappointed in it, I bet he's probably right there. But here's the additional question that I have. Isn't it right to say that the Republicans next year could go through and implement even more cuts? The Republicans, yes, you have to retain and hopefully grow the Republican majority in the House and maintain or potentially grow the Republican majority in the Senate. But this isn't the only shot they have at it. And if they are able to do what, when I pushed back on Ryan a little bit last week when he was advocating not for the Republicans not to vote for the bill, to push for more spending cuts, which I know a lot of you understand and agree with that. When we look into the future, we have more opportunity, years 2, 3, and 4, if we don't get our butts kicked in the midterms, to continue to add these things in. And what I added to the conversation last week is Donald Trump and Elon Musk has come out here and said this. He goes, he basically said, in order to do what we need to do to fix the deficits and pay down the debt, we can't cut our way out of it. We have to grow production here. We have to grow the American economy. We have to grow it through business. And that is a huge, like, the gamble that Donald Trump is taking right now. He gave another 30, 45 day extension or something, 90 to Europe.
To Europe.
And the stock market is reflecting accordingly. I think he said till July 9th, because he said he got a phone call from them, from someone says, okay, we want serious negotiations with you. Can we have a little bit more time? And he said, yeah. Donald Trump's bet here has always been cutting spending, but married with growing the United States economy. So we can't live in this vacuum of just looking at the congressional budgeting cuts to think it's all got to be there. And Elon Musk, and it's like sad Elon Musk. Nobody wants to see sad Elon Musk, but he's super sad Elon Musk right now. We have to invest in our country and grow our own economy and start bringing things back here in order to do the things that we want to see: balanced budget, paying down debt. It's bigger than just the cuts. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Is the poll up? Did I put the poll up? If it isn't up, I'll put it up right here in the commercial break. And we want to know what your grade is for the House Republicans. And I will ask Congressman Burleson that at 1:25. Stick around. We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other news. The Ukraine war as well. I'm going to throw this out here to our group and be interested to see what you guys think about it as well. It's not going the way Donald Trump said it was going to go when he got into office. We'll discuss the developments next. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, the YouTube live chat poll, which is now up on YouTube, which is super helpful when I implore you to go vote. If you came and tried to vote at noon, I suck. So just go vote now, please. And let us know how you grade the House GOP. We have Congressman Burleson. Eric Burleson is going to be with us at 1:25. I'm going to ask him that question. Do you think he's going to give him? Is he going to give? It's kind of weird for a congressman to not be like, I think we're doing a great job. But I think he's going to maybe be. He might couch that grade a little bit. But he's also probably seen the negotiations, so he knows how the sausage was made.
Yeah. Well, he's seen the negotiations on the House side and then knows that it's stalled a little bit in the Senate side, too. So I'm sure that's all part of it.
Well, we'll ask him at 1:25, and we hope that you'll be here with us when we have that conversation. If you have thoughts or questions that you'd like Congressman Burleson to ask or for us to ask him, make sure you comment them on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and we will look for those and set them aside and try to include some of them. Jim Carafano is traveling today, so we're not going to get to speak with him at 1:05 like we traditionally do. But we do have the Deputy White House Press Secretary Kush Desai back on with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about we're going to talk a lot about MAHA. I am so wide-eyed about everything Make America Healthy Again. If I were giving myself a grade on effort of how I'm trying to be healthy, I'd probably give myself a B, B plus. Execution, it's probably an F, honestly. When you think about all of the things that we consume, all of the unhealthy things that make it into our systems every day, and we don't know that that's happening, the system is set up to work against us. And even if you have the best of intentions, it doesn't end up materializing because there are so many things that are part of our health system that are working opposed to what we're trying to do to be healthy. And, you know, there's evidence all across the globe of people who are eating things that we're eating, but they're eating them in a different recipe, essentially. You know, pasta, the way people eat pasta in Europe. First of all, I always think of pasta being as much portion size as anything, because Americans eat pasta as a main dish, where, like in Italy, it's like a side. Usually there's like a protein or something like that, and the pasta is like a side.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I may have heard that, but I wouldn't have.
That's my understanding, at least. that Americans are like, I'll have a like the amount of pasta that you get if you go to like an Italian restaurant. I'm not going to call any out specifically, but you know, those like chain Italian restaurants, like the idea of having like bottomless spaghetti is like 10 times the amount of spaghetti that you would eat. It's just, we consume it differently. But also the ingredients that go into, you could stop eating the huge portion sizes and still eat stuff that's chock full of crap. And you don't know that you're doing it. So Kush Desai will be with us at 105 to talk about that. But I did want to discuss a little bit about Ukraine. And Donald Trump has said some very charged things towards Vladimir Putin. I mean, the idea that, like, he was going to come into office and he was going to solve this, you know, bring peace immediately to this conflict, that has not happened. And, you know, I have no problems looking at reality and saying, nope, that didn't occur. Here's the president speaking outside of Marine One, I think.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
So when you hear the president saying that, does he get credit for the fact that political credit for the fact that he's saying, not complimenting Putin? A lot of people on the left are going to be like, well, we knew that all along. Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump have worked together for a common, I won't even say good, I'll say common outcome. But Donald Trump has not been able to crack this nut. He has not been able to go in and stop the fighting. He's not been able to go in and bring these people to a mutual understanding of benefit that would at least stop the killing. Maybe there's not, you know, inherent understanding and agreement on peace per se. But as soon as they start getting closer to this concept of maybe a ceasefire or whatever, then they have those talks, it becomes news, and then they come out and they're like, they start bombing each other once again. And it almost makes you feel foolish for ever thinking that it could possibly work.
The only guy that can do this is President Trump. I really believe that. I've said that repeatedly on air.
Right.
But based on his personality, who he is, he's the one who can bring peace to the region. It's not going to be easy. You know, negotiations are never easy, but there's nowhere this war is going to end through violence, through killing of soldiers on either side.
Right.
It's going to come down to negotiation. That's where you have to be.
So that's Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, pretty regular here on the Annie Fry Show, saying, like, if this is going to get done, it's going to have to get done through Trump. Do you feel any closer to some sort of peace agreement today than you did when Trump won?
Oddly, yes, I do. Although the more people talk about, well, Trump's the only one that can get it done, because it's not, it's lots and lots of people say that. There are people overseas that say that. The more I hear it, the more I'm thinking, man, psychologically, Putin probably doesn't want Trump to get credit for ending the war. He wants it to be on his terms. Zelensky probably does too, to a certain extent. So I just don't know if Trump is going to be the figure that everybody expects that he's going to be, unless he can do it a little bit more in the background, a little bit quieter. Some of this escalation feels like the final big push before they really start talking to me.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has rejected President Donald Trump's push to have the next round of Russia-Ukraine peace talks at the Vatican, which is something that was talked about when President Trump was going through the Middle East. There was like a just kind of a suggestion that was thrown out that maybe they'd swing by Turkey, I think it was, on the way home, and they'd sit down and have these conversations. That got brushed off before the president even left the Middle East. There's that clip of him saying, you know, I got to get home. My daughter had a baby and I want to get home to see my grandchild. So, you know, smart move on the president to say something like that. But then as soon as they got back, they were like, what if we do this at the Vatican? Putin said no. The president had floated that idea since newly appointed American pontiff suggested it earlier this month. So that was actually suggested by the new pope. Though it remains unclear when another round of talks will be held, as Russia has yet to agree to the United States peace proposal, and its foreign ministry on Tuesday claimed it was still working on its memorandum of terms. Trump on Tuesday, that's today, took to social media to issue a warning to Putin and said he's, quote, playing with fire. His Truth Social post says, quote, what Vladimir Putin doesn't realize is that if it weren't for me, Lots of really bad things would have already happened to Russia. And I mean, all caps, really bad. He's playing with fire. Similarly, Ukrainian President Zelensky accused Moscow of, quote, playing games after it carried out the largest drone strike ever in the three-year-long war in a Sunday attack in which Russia launched 335 drones and 9 cruise missiles at civilian targets. Trump said, I have always had a very good relationship with Vladimir Putin of Russia, but something has happened to him. He's gone absolutely crazy. This is all in a Fox News report by Caitlin McFall on FoxNews.com. I'm really asking myself, what's the value of American interest here? I mean, there are people who just want Americans to stick their head in the sand and to, like, if Ukraine takes over, or if Russia takes over Ukraine, which seems to be the ultimate goal here, you know, they take Crimea and then they move a little bit further in when they, what was that, the minor incursion?
Mm-hmm.
The intent would be to consume Ukraine. The implications of doing that are significant because of the new borders that they would share, the countries that they would share borders with. When you listen to President Trump talk about this, and to kind of, I guess, I'm not saying this in a dismissive way, but he's trying to explain away the lack of progress, the lack of tangible progress. What the American people see through a political lens is progress. There has to be so much work and effort put in to getting to something that the American people will even glance at and consider progress. These are very complicated things, just like Kellogg was saying. But President Trump often says this would have never happened if he would have been the president and Joe Biden wouldn't have been the president. And you have to compare where the amount of people, millions dead in this war. Is it true that Joe Biden and whatever his presidency was, which we're finding out every single day, more consequence to what was really going on during the Joe Biden presidency? And it actually makes me mad, especially like if I take a break this weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, lovely weekend for me, for my family. When I get back in the car and I'm driving to work and I'm listening to the news or I'm catching up to come in here and I start hearing the new reports about Joe Biden and what was really going on, it's enraging to me. And I have to ask myself, do I need to go back on the air today and pull my hair out because, oh my gosh, Joe Biden wasn't in charge during his presidency? The consequences of the Joe Biden presidency is what's going on in Ukraine right now, is Russia's attack on Ukraine right now. That is blood on the hands of a president who, I don't know that he permitted it, but who was in charge? Whomever was in charge permitted it. And we don't even have an answer to that question. How many times did we say on this show, somebody's going to write a book? I wanted to use an adjective there. A book.
A blanking book?
Yes. My kids are off school now. And the FCC.
Ah, yes. Just say blanking.
He wanted to write a blanking book. Somebody was going to write a blanking book and they were going to expose everything. And I said then, there's going to be a lot of money to be made with the first person who comes out with the book. I thought, here's where I was way off the mark. I thought it would be an insider in the White House. I thought it would be somebody who had a first person access to whatever was going on in the White House, to President Biden or to whomever was the acting president through the puppet of Joe Biden. I thought it would be someone from the inside. I didn't know it was going to be an actual journalist, somebody whose job it is to come and answer questions, ask questions, get to the bottom of the truth, and bring the American people closer to the truth. Because remember, when Jake Tapper is reporting, is anchoring for CNN, he's supposed to be an advocate for you. He's supposed to be an advocate for the American people. He's supposed to, the free press, the First Amendment, the freedom of the press, it's in number one. It's the first thing that has to be established so that the rest of it can exist. And Jake Tapper at CNN the whole time was supposed to be doing what he's doing now, except for he's not doing it now to expose truth. He's doing it now to make money. And everybody knows it. Everybody understands it. And we're just casually okay with it. So we're supposed to sit here and we're supposed to ask ourselves, what is Donald Trump doing about the Ukraine-Russian war? And we're talking about how billions of dollars that have been spent of the American taxpayers' money. We're trying to figure out how to cut, you know, we got work requirements for Medicaid now. People are freaking out about that. We want to cut taxes on Social Security. We can't cut taxes on Social Security right now, but we can spend billions in Ukraine for a war that never should have started because the guy who was in charge was asleep at the wheel. We lost American lives in the pullout of Afghanistan so that that guy could, that was air quotes running the presidency, could say that he actually acted on ending the Afghanistan war, the war in Afghanistan. Our participation in it. Donald Trump is trying to clean up all of these messes, and we've got leftists on the same network of the guy who's selling a book to try to expose the things that he wouldn't even ask questions about when Joe Biden was actually the president. This is incestuously treasonous on behalf of the people who are supposed to advocate for you. The press is supposed to advocate for the American citizen. That's the only thing that keeps this whole thing going. And that might seem a little extreme, Annie. Oh, the press is going to save us? We're toast. Well, yeah, actually, that's actually how it's going to work. You could say democracy dies in darkness, and you could actually mean it, or you could use it to sell more. The light is supposed to come with the constant pursuit of truth from the American press. And the American press has tucked that away, put it in the closet, locked the door, and sold you a book. We played the Jon Stewart clip last week, which I can't get out of my head. They have this montage of CNN promoting Jake Tapper's book. They have the news in their hands, and they're like, it'll be out in 3 weeks. What the blank is that? What are we being sold? Why is CNN on in airports everywhere? How did they get that deal? Why is CNN on at all? Nobody's watching it. Nobody who has a choice is watching it. And the people who are consuming CNN, like it's their job, are the Joy Behars of the world who said, if I were choking, I'd rather die than have a MAGA person give me the Heimlich. These are not rational people. This is not rational thinking. And the last election to put Donald Trump into office was an absolute rebuke. People know now. It's been exposed, but now that it's been exposed, we don't know what to do with it. We have this really nasty wound exposed, and now we're like, oh, I didn't know that was there. What do we do now? We have to do something. We have to do something to address what is real, what is right in front of us. And we cannot spend all of our time looking at Donald Trump and trying to make political hay out of all of the messes he's had to clean up of what Joe Biden or whomever was acting as Joe Biden for 4 years, what they did to this country for their own procurement and expansion of power, of access, of money. They did it on your future, on your child's future, on your grandchildren's future. They mortgaged the whole thing. I don't get too worked. You know, if Donald Trump hasn't solved the Russia, if he would have come in here and we're 4 months in and he fixed it, that'd be outrageous. That'd truly be outrageous. It's all politics. Against Trump, everything is politics against Trump. But Joe Biden did real measurable damage to this country. Can you imagine if Kamala Harris were in charge right now? I don't think she can imagine if Kamala Harris were in charge right now. Go grade the House GOP on the YouTube live chat poll. Wiggins America, when we come back, he's got the Monday roundup on a Tuesday, which is good because you probably missed some things this weekend while you were barbecuing, swimming in the pool in the 65-degree weather, and thanking God in heaven for the people who gave everything for that First Amendment and the rest of them, freedoms that were given to us by God. Let's get to Wiggins America next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. The
game. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Wiggins.
The best imaged segment on this show.
You know what? It takes time and finesse, yep. And I'm willing to put that into this segment.
And interest.
I mean, as long as people know that my name's associated with it, yeah, it's going to get top tier.
There's something about all of the things that have your name in that have like its own intro for every single calendar day.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, I got a music bed for this segment, too.
I hate this. I hate it. I hate it.
I have to stop.
All right, no, stop. You know, we just want people to know that we're putting in the time.
You know how awful that witch side are you on? That gets in your head.
Oh, it does. It really does.
And then you're walking around, you're going, "Which side are you on?" And you're like, gosh!
Every time you see Democrats singing a song at the Capitol or anything, aren't you always thinking, how do we make this into dubstep?
I don't have to think that thought because you do.
I just do it. It just comes natural.
What'd we miss?
Here's the top story that I chose that you missed this weekend.
I love it's the top story that I chose.
Well, there's lots of stories.
Go on.
You can choose anything. I chose this one. Democrats have been roasted over the $20 million plot to win over young male voters. Critics are...
There's got to be a keyword in there somewhere. A poll-tested word that they can start saying, and young men will just be like, we like you now. Because they're that stupid.
That's the goal. Critics are slamming Democrats for a, quote, inauthentic $20 million plan to win over young men under 30 years old. They're spending $20 million to do it, and the best quote that's come from this is that they need to, quote, study the syntax used by young men to win their votes.
Where do I donate to this cause?
Exactly.
Give me a link, and you got $20 from me coming your way.
This is really funny because now they're focused on young males, but they do this with
every group. This is the same party that was like, we need a masculine Midwesterner. Where's Tim Walz?
Exactly.
We wanted Tim Balls, and we got Tim Walz.
Exactly.
Makes no sense.
But they do this with every group. They go, you know what? Our policies are not the problem.
Mm-mm.
Our problem is we're not... saying it right. We're not getting the message about the policies to young male voters right. So we got to spend $20 million to study the syntax of how young men talk.
I haven't
talk like them.
Heard the word syntax since my senior year honors English class with, ironically, Mrs. Fry. No longer with us. Rest her soul. She was a wonderful lady. But like talking about syntax, you want to talk about connecting with real life people? Real life people who are 20, did you say?
So under 30.
Under 30 in their 20s.
Men
in their 20s are so stupid. They're just waiting for you to say it the right way.
But that's every group. They do that to every group. They go, well, we know what we're doing. You don't get it, though.
Yeah.
So it's our fault, really, for just not messaging.
Let's have a fundraiser.
This is the best news of the day. That's why I led with it, because they're losing young men.
The top story that I chose.
Exactly. All right. Next one is that if you're not sure whether you're hot, you can ask ChatGPT.
And this is like attractive or temperature?
Attractive. I don't know if it's going to know your temperature.
Have you asked?
I have not. But it's a big online trend right now.
Can I ask Grok if you're attractive?
Yeah, I think Grok would be a little more friendly to me than ChatGPT.
I'm gonna do it right now.
But do you believe that there's anything to this? Because people are taking the advice and running with it and really changing their appearance in whatever way they can based on the advice. And I think there actually is something to this because they've all, you know, we've seen the last probably decade or so them do the studies on people, why they find somebody attractive versus if they don't. And a lot of it has to do with facial symmetry. So that's the kind of thing
yeah.
that ChatGPT could see. But I don't know how you alter that either. Are you gonna do? Are you doing it right now?
Alter your facial symmetry.
I'm trying to find that picture of you that I put on my kids' heads to celebrate their accomplishments. Hey, it's a picture you sent me. So.
The best pictures I ever sent you were we were doing a new open for the show, like the standard open, and you said, "Can you guys send me like a press photo?"
It was you in front of a Christmas tree or something.
I know, I sent you just a bunch of selfies of me looking into the camera about as weirdly as I could, and you were like, "None of these." These pictures are not usable.
Were you surprised when
no,
I said
no,
that?
No, but that was the whole point. Is
like, that's the goal. Like,
I actually had none of these typed before you even sent me the photos.
If you ever ask me for a photo, just know that you're going to have to wade through about 10 or 12 of those before you get a real one. Speaking of looking good, Common Daily Vitamin is now said to slow biological aging, and it is very accessible. It's just vitamin D, you guys.
Yeah. D3 vitamin, complex.
Vitamin D might be doing more than just support bone health. It could help the body age slower.
Cool.
When you hear these kinds of studies, both of you, do you immediately go, oh, I'm going to look into that? Are you like skeptical of everything? Where do you fall on these?
I don't think that it's weird to look at vitamin D and be like, that could be good for you.
Like, yeah, that's kind of where I fell on this one, too.
Yeah.
It's like, this one isn't.
I went to Infinite Vitality. I'm going to be talking to you a lot more about that new partner on the show and my vitamin. They basically said if in the Midwest, you get 6 months worth of good vitamin D intake and 6 months of bad because of the way the weather is and your ability to be out and be in the sun and get it naturally. So D3 complex for me.
I take D like crazy.
I do. I take vitamin D every day.
I'm always low on D. I get the vitamin panel once a year, and they're always like, you're low on D. So I just keep pumping D. And I'm like, am I doing anything here? Every year, it's the same thing. Pumping D. That sounds kind of gross.
Oh, my God.
Final boarding call for free bags at Southwest as the airline abandons this cherished perk. Although, if you booked before, I think, tomorrow, any flight booked before tomorrow, as I understand it, still gets the perk.
As I understand it. Do you even know what the news is? Or are you just talking? Is this rumors?
Well, this story doesn't specifically say that, but I've researched this enough to say I'm pretty
evident.
Sure that if you book before tomorrow, the
28th, we're saying is trust but verify. Basically, this whole segment, can you rebrand this to be like ish? News-ish.
Yeah, we probably could do that.
Thank you.
Although that would take a lot of work on the imaging side.
Yeah, I know. But it's
I
for your segment,
sure
so
I'm up for it.
I'm hopeful.
I don't know. People who want to get two free checked bags will have to book by tomorrow for any flight. After that, you're paying for them, and they start at $35 per checked bag. They start at $35 per checked bag. So there you go. And you said we got a minute, so I'll just say real quick, the Texas bill to require the Ten Commandments in public schools is moving toward the governor's desk, and Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign the bill. There's a lot to this bill, but that's the gist of it, is that the Ten Commandments will be in public schools in Texas and already are in Louisiana.
Stick around in the 2 o'clock hour. We are going to talk about Emmanuel Macron and Bill Belichick and get the answer from Grok as to whether or not Ryan Wiggins is attractive. Kush Desai with the White House and Representative Eric Burleson next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.